This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Carr has to work quickly, down to 6 seconds. Carr going down again, and it's Quinnen Williams this time for the Jets.
For the middle in the air, picked off. Brian Poole to the end zone, touchdown.
Punter to beat, and the punter brings him down. Brayden Mann saved a touchdown, most likely.
Looks right, fires a bomb down the right sideline again for Mims. What a catch by Denzel Mims.
And welcome back. An episode of the Cool Your Jets podcast. We're your hosts, Ben Blessington and Michael Nania. A very special episode today. We are lucky enough to be joined by Tony Pauline, who's an NFL draft analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm okay. I'm also a New York Jets season ticket holder. In fact, up until last year, I had not missed attending a Jets home game for almost 40 seasons. The last time I missed attending a Jets home game until fans were not allowed in the stadium last year was November 1981 when they beat the Dolphins at Shea Stadium.
So it's safe to assume you'll be back week one, 2021.
I will. I mean, unless they you know, kind of say you can't go because we're only allowing a certain number of people in,
right,
and they can just refund my money for the season tickets. But yeah, I mean, if they allow fans in, I intend on being in the parking lot 10 o'clock in the morning tailgating.
Well, let's talk about the guy that should supposedly be under center week one. It seems like it's going to be Zach Wilson. I mean, that's all the buzz. How confident are you that Zach Wilson will be the pick at two? Do you think there's any chance that there's a major upset and they take a Justin Fields or a Mac Jones or a Trey Lance?
99.9% it's Zach Wilson. I mean, these are the Jets, and you never know. I mean, every time this time of year, you always see the Kyle Brady and the Mike Haight and the Jeff Lagerman videos of drafts past. But I'd say it's about 99.9% that it's Zach Wilson, as well it should be. He's the perfect fit for that offense. He's a much better fit than any of those other quarterbacks. He's a guy who's on the upswing. You always want to get a quarterback when he's playing his best football, and Zach Wilson's definitely playing his best football. I think he's got the confidence to do it. Don't think he's got a great vertical arm, but I think they will adjust for that because the Jets really don't have great vertical receivers, so it's not sure being an issue.
So we pretty much know what's going to happen at number two for the Jets, but for them, the draft really starts at number 23 with that Seahawks pick. So directions they could go, they have a lot of different needs they could address: defense, cornerback, edge, linebacker, but offensive line is the prime need. So what have you heard, and what do you think the Jets might do?
The Jets have been very quiet. I mean, if you follow me, I was on top of the story about Sam Darnold being traded and Zach Wilson being their guy before it actually happened. But I will be honest and tell you that it's been very quiet what they're going to do with that second pick in round one. Now, I think if he's there, Tevin Jenkins, I know they like Tevin Jenkins, so I think that's got to be a consideration. The talented offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, a athletic right tackle people think can move over to the left side. Obviously, the Jets don't need that. But again, I think he's a good system fit. He's a zone blocker, 6'6", 317 pounds, ran under 5 seconds during his pro day. His 10 time was good. You watch him play. He's a tall guy who blocks with excellent knee bend. I think that's a consideration. You know, any of the cornerbacks that are there would be a concern. If Caleb Farley of Virginia Tech is there, it's because he's dropped because of back issues. So you got to be concerned about that. I think Greg Newsom of Northwestern, that's a bit of a reach. What do they do if a top pass rusher is there? You know, if a Quiddy Pay happens to fall to them, I think that's a perfect fit. I don't think Pay will be there. Do they take a chance on a Jaylen Phillips of Miami of Florida? I think that's a little bit early. He's got some past medical issues with concussions. So I think the signs point to offensive line at this point in time.
How likely would you say a trade is for the Jets on day one? Joe Douglas alluded to the fact that they've done some groundwork and that if a player, maybe like an Elijah Vera Tucker or J.C. Horn or somebody were to fall past 15 or so, maybe that he could move up. But on the flip side of that, maybe he could move down if none of those guys are that he's targeting at 23 available. How likely would you say a trade is for the Jets at the back half of day one?
I think you look at the history of Douglas when he was with Philadelphia, and Philadelphia was not afraid to move up or down the board. So I think if an opportunity arises, Olivier Tucker, I'm sure they would use him at guard, which is a significant need. If the price isn't too much, I'm sure they would move up. If they are not sold on Jenkins, or somehow Jenkins is not there, you know, rather than reach for one of the cornerbacks, if they can make a move down for a team that wants to slide up, I think that is also an opportunity. I think the Jets, I think the opportunity of a trade up or down is as realistic of that as just them sitting there and selecting a player.
Looking at the first three rounds of the draft outside of the number two pick, how would you rank the Jets' needs and priorities in terms of positions in the early parts of the draft? And then how would you compare your personal preferences to what you might have heard the Jets might be valuing more or less compared to what we might think they will?
Offensive line, and more offensive line than cornerback. I also think they need a receiver. Obviously, they got to figure out the tight end position. And I think that's the way they see it too. I he basically drafted good players last year and filled needs. There's no reason to think he being Joe Douglas, won't do the same thing. I think it's going to be an offensive heavy draft, except for you will see a cornerback here inserted here and there. And I also think that if a talented edge rusher happens to fall in their laps, they're not going to look away from that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned offensive line. How realistic do you think it is that the Jets will hit a situation where they hit 23 and Tevin Jenkins isn't there, Elijah Vera Tucker isn't there, those top offensive linemen aren't there, and then you're stuck in a position where it's like, do you reach for a guy like Creed Humphrey or Landon Dickerson, or maybe you wait until the second pick of the second round with Wyatt Davis or somebody like that? I mean, if there's an early run on offensive linemen, how likely do you think it is that Joe Douglas will ignore the talent on the board for the need of the offensive line?
If there's a run on one position, that means other talented players are falling down. So if there's a run on offensive linemen, that means you could have a good edge rusher there. And if the Jets don't like him, there's always a market for that. You may have a receiver there. I don't think J.C. Horn would be there. I think that would be manna from heaven for the New York Jets. There's no way J.C. Horn's getting out of the top 12. But in your scenario, if there is a run on offensive linemen, that means that other highly rated players could be available at 23 for the Jets to select or make a move down. As far as Creed Humphrey, I like Creed Humphrey a lot, but I think he's more top of round two. As far as Landon Dickerson's concerned, number one, I don't think it's a good fit for the Jets scheme. And while I like him as a player, his medicals are an absolute disaster. And right. I wrote an article on Pro Football Network earlier this week about how he got a 3- during combine medicals. 3- will usually drop a guy into the very late rounds. I think with Dickerson, it's probably going to be a 2 or 3 grade penalty on him.
And one position that the Jets do have a big need at, but hasn't gotten too much attention, is the linebacker spot. So do you see the Jets maybe going after someone like Owusu-Koramoah in the first round if he falls, Zaven Collins potentially, or in the second round with someone like Jamin Davis?
Yeah, I don't. Well, two things. Collins, I think, is a better fit for a pure 3-4 defense.
Right.
And the Jets are not running a pure 3-4 defense. They're going to kind of run a hybrid, and I don't know that Collins fits that sort of hybrid system. Owusu-Koramoah, would be a nice pick. I don't know if he's going to be there. There would be trade opportunities, I believe, with a team like the Cleveland Browns. And Jamin Davis, I think, is a lock solid first-round pick. I don't think he's going to be there for the Jets in the second round. See, but the problem is this is, you know, first round, what are the Jets going to do the first round? You know, they're talented players in rounds 2, 3, and even 4. I mean, if the Jets want a linebacker, they can come away with a darn good one and a guy like Derek Barnes from Purdue at the top of round 4. I would suspect right. that he's going to be there. You know, maybe Chaz Surratt of North Carolina, if they're looking for more of an outside, weak side type linebacker in the third round. So there will be, you know, there's everyone concentrates on the first round, but the draft is 7 rounds and 259 selections this year. And as we saw last year with the punter in the 6th round, the Jets got hit a home run there.
Yeah, I think day 2 of the draft is always my favorite day. And I think it's one that Joe Douglas plans to capitalize on a lot. When you look at the Jets, obviously we know pick 1 is going to be a quarterback. You can infer the next 2 picks are going to be either offensive line, maybe corner, linebacker, etc. But eventually the Jets are going to have to address their skill position players, their tight ends, running backs, receivers. And that probably won't get addressed until round 2 at the earliest, but probably more like round 3, round 4. Who are some of the guys that you like for the Jets in that spot, skill position wise, you know, tight ends, running backs, and receivers?
Well, I mean, it's a very, very deep receiver class once again. Now, the Jets, you know, they look kind of set at receiver. You know, sign Corey Davis. You got Crowder, who's a good slot receiver. Denzel Mims, who, when he was healthy last year, really showed to be himself to be the real deal. And a guy that, as I said all along, was ridiculously underrated. I mean, I think they would like somebody to stretch the field. Maybe an Anthony Schwartz in the 3rd round. He's got blazing speed, a 2-2 Atwell, who I have as a 4th rounder. I know a lot of people think he's a day 2 pick. I just don't know how you draft a guy that's 146 pounds in the first 90 selections of the draft. Maybe a Semi Fehoko of Stanford, who's a bigger guy, but who also ran incredibly fast and is really just starting to see the light go on, really just starting to turn the corner. The tight end position is probably one of the worst in the draft, worst positions in the draft this year. You got Kyle Pitts at the top. You got Pat Freiermuth in round 2. And then you got a lot of question marks. I like Tommy Tremble. I think he's a consideration for the Jets in round 3 if he's there. But he's going to need a lot of work before he's ready. Brevin Jordan of Miami of Florida, again, 3rd round type guy. But I he's going to need work before he is truly ready. Keep an eye on Ben Mason. I keep hearing this name affiliated with the Jets. Ben Mason, the fullback, H-back, sort of multi-purpose player from Michigan. I know the Jets like him. He's a guy that is a terrific blocker. He's a sensational receiver out of the backfield. He does a solid job running, sort of like the Kyle Juszczyk, or I should say a Kyle Juszczyk type. So he would be an excellent fit for that system. I could absolutely see the Jets making a move towards Ben Mason in that 5th, 6th round.
And looking at the draft as a whole, what do you expect Joe Douglas's overall philosophy to be? Because it's so hard to pick up on that right now after he's only had one draft as the GM. But we always look at how sort of different GMs approach the draft, whether it's best player available, drafting for need, how aggressive they are trading up or down. So what do you expect Joe Douglas to do in this draft with so many picks and so many needs to fill?
I mean, I thought on paper he did a good job last year. Obviously, Mekhi Becton panned out and looks like the real deal. The other guys played well when they were healthy. We never saw what we had with Jabari Zuniga. Now, I go back to last year because it seemed last year he was able to fill needs with highly rated players. Of course, with the Jets, that's not a very difficult thing to do because they have needs all over the field. So, you know, usually time and time again, your best player available fit a need. I don't think he's going to draft off the board. You know, if you know the way NFL boards are constructed, I think he'll stay true to his board. I mean, sometimes what happens is the highest rated player or the player that is perceived to be the highest rated on the outside is not always the highest rated player on a team's board. So they could take a player that a lot of people think is a reach. But still, I think based on last year, he did a good job filling needs with highly rated players. I think that'll be the MO moving forward.
In your mock draft, in your opinion, who do you have the Jets ultimately selecting with their first 3 picks at 223 and 34?
I have obviously Zach Wilson, Tevin Jenkins, and then Creed Humphrey. I know they like Creed Humphrey a lot. He's a lot like Nick Mangold at equal points in his career. He has short arms, which is a concern for some people. I believe that we're under 32 inches, but when you're a center, you can get away with having short arms. Terrific player for 3 years, fundamentally sound. Again, fits the system. Zone blocking lineman that's fluid on his feet and get out to the second level, take linebackers out of the action. And a smart, tough guy who I believe was like 312 pounds, weighed a little bit heavier, which is in this case was good on his pro day.
Do you think that in that situation, if they were to take a Creed Humphrey, that they would bump Connor McGovern out to guard, play Humphrey at center, and then Jenkins at the other guard spot?
Makes the most sense as far as I'm concerned. I mean, McGovern is a multi-purpose guy. You know, they signed him last year as a free agent, but, you know, he's moved all over last year because of injuries. So, yeah, I think they move him out to guard. It could be a situation. I mean, you got Kyle Van Rotten there who, you know, I don't know that it was worth the paper the contract was signed on last year. So you move McGovern out to a guard. You move Humphreys into center. And then if you draft George Tevin Jenkins, or even if you don't, I mean, George Fant was solid at times last year. He's got a lot of upside. You want to really see him turn the wick up and play at a high level every single down and really elevate his game. Otherwise, you could have a terrific right tackle out there in Tevin Jenkins, as per my mock draft or what you just asked me.
Right. And last question for you. Obviously, you know, the Jets are bringing in a whole new coaching staff, different schemes. We're not necessarily exactly sure what the offense is going to look like, presumably a mesh of Green Bay and San Francisco. How much do you think Joe Douglas will value the scheme fit as opposed to the talent? Because we know that those guys like a Creed Humphrey or Landon Dickerson, those are guys that are man gap power guys. And, you know, Creed Humphrey maybe could make that transition, but you expressed that concern with Dickerson. And then there's players, you know, in other spots. You talked about Zaven Collins earlier, who is an amazing talent and I think will be a standout pro, but he's probably better in that 3-4 outside linebacker role and like a Brian Flores type of defense. So how do you see them when you have a bad team like the Jets have in front of them and there's needs all over the place? How do you see them weighing that scheme versus that talent?
Yeah, you have to find some sort of happy medium. I mean, that's why Bill Belichick is so good. That's why Bill Parcells was so terrific with the Jets, because if you look at the prior coaches, Bruce, what was his name? Bruce Kozlik, those people, they would have their system and the players had to fit their system. What the good coaches do is they build the system around their players. So you have to find a happy medium. I go back to Landon Dickerson. I don't think Landon Dickerson would be a good fit for this offense because he's not really, I mean, the offensive line is sort of similar to the one that Gase wanted, athletic guys that are mobile and move well. And I don't think Landon Dickerson fits that. But the bottom line is you've got to find some happy medium. You don't want to be drafting way off your board. You don't want to be going for reaches. But then again, you know, a lot of times those guys may not even be on the Jets board. I mean, the NFL teams construct their boards with just 125 players. They don't have the 890 guys graded that you'll find at Pro Football Network the way I do every year. And this year is a light year. It's usually 1,100. You know, they're going to expand their boards to 175. So a lot of the players that may not be fits that they don't like may not even be on the Jets board to begin with.
That's insightful stuff right there. I didn't even know that they only had 125. Now I guess 175 guys on their board. Tony.
Well, it's usually about 125 guys.
Right.
Players that they like, players that they feel they will be able to draft. Right. And what happens is as other teams select those players, they come off the board. And then when the team is called to the clock, they'll look at the players at the top of the board and they'll make, you know, they'll have a decision, arguments. And then whatever is left over, they try and sign as undrafted free agents. What's happening this year, as I reported in the show I do with Trey Wingo, is they've actually expanded the boards. Some teams have expanded the boards to 175 players because there is a concern that with such a dearth of talent, with so many fewer names this year compared to other years, because players are going back for their second senior year, a la the new NCAA rule, teams are expanding their boards to about 175 players, because there's a concern that many of the names will be repeated around boards league-wide.
Right.
And when you get in those later rounds, those boards may be severely diminished.
And that's where good scouting departments distinguish themselves. Let's hope the Jets can maybe get like one or two gems on day three of the draft. That would be maybe worthwhile.
Ben Mason, Michigan. Remember that name.
All right, Ben Mason, Michigan. I'll remember that. And we were talking about that in the podcast a few weeks ago. It's like, if you're going to run that San Francisco offense, Kyle Juszczyk is a huge part of it. It'd be intriguing to see if they can try to find somebody who can replicate that. Tony, thank you so much for coming on, man. That was really insightful stuff. Really quickly, I guess, just let our listeners know where they can find you, where they can listen to your stuff. Again, really, really grateful to have you on. That was some great stuff.
Yeah, every Wednesday night, I do the Believe podcast with Chris Chipotle. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. In fact, that was the podcast where we broke the story that there was a big problem in the Jets front office between Mike Maccagnan and Adam Gase. Got a lot of grief about it when I reported it, but it evidently came true. So that's out every Wednesday night. This week, we may push it back to Tuesday to get a day's jump start. And then at Pro Football Network, obviously, there's a free draft guide that people can go and download. There's the mock draft simulator, which people tell me is addictive. I don't know. I haven't used it because I'm afraid once I get on it, I won't be able to get off. And more importantly for Jet fans, there will be some 700 scouting reports by the time the draft starts. So you're not only will be able to find information on the players the Jets draft, but also information on those guys that they signed after the draft as free agents.
That's awesome. Great stuff, Tony. You can follow us at CYJ Pod on Twitter. You can follow myself at Ben W. Blessington, Michael at Michael_Nania. You can find this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Jets X Factor, which is the best place to go for Jets content. Tony, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. And as always, folks, the draft is just around the corner. It's an exciting time to be a Jets fan. Don't let the Jets.
Unfortunately.
Pass the work quickly. Down to 6 seconds. Carr going down again. And it's Quinnen Williams this time for the Jets.
Over the middle in the air, picked off. Brian Poole to the end zone, touchdown.
The punter to beat, and the punter brings him down. Brayden Mann saved a touchdown, most likely.
Looks right. Fires a bomb down the right sideline again for Mims. What a catch by Denzel Mims.